Please take your seats as quick as possible. We are starting.
Nice to see you here, but not a surprise.
Can you take a seat, please?
Yes,
yeah?
Of course.
Good. Thanks very much. Thanks very much. Guys, take a seat up there. All right. Where's my... Sorry.
No, 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 you're good. You're good. You're good.
All right. All right, guys, take your seat, please. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we are moving on. And that's going to be a lightning talk, but the blast one, of course. The next up is Cynthia and Casey. We'll talk about building CRA-ready open source communities, the critical role of community managers. So important one. Please give a round of applause to the next speakers.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I am Cynthia. I'm a PM at GitHub, and joining me today, the super lightning fast talk, is Casey.
Hi, everyone. I'm Cassie. I come here as an independent person, but working with World Health Organization, WHO, on open source related work, previously on health emergencies, and now on medical records related things. So very happy to speak to people about that. But here today on an independent capacity.
Yeah. Okay. Oops. It's not. Okay, there we go. Yes.
Yes, sorry about the slide. It seems like everything had gone wrong, but please excuse us. And also, excuse us if this has already been covered, but I thought if everyone is a bit like me, as in sometimes a bit confused what like CRA actually means and what it covers, I thought it might be helpful to start with a bit of very, very brief context. So CRA, it does introduce what they call like mandatory cybersecurity requirements for hardware and software product throughout their whole life cycle. And we'll talk about what that means in a second. And it is meant to complement European cybersecurity rules and strengthen the security of the whole, what they call supply chain. So in the recital, which is if you ever look at the actual legislation, if you ever go to the exact source, European Commission, if anyone have trouble how to navigate that, I'm very happy to support you on that. So what in the recital, which is the first like line items that they give before it goes into act, which is like actual law, so to say. So it's meant to shift cybersecurity from a post-market issue to a regulatory obligation that's embedded in product governance. And it's meant to treat cybersecurity as a, what they call collective supply chain responsibility, not just a manufacturer concern. I saw from the previous question that someone mentioned that our clients would be considered manufacturers under cybersecurity, Cyber Resilience Act, and so on. And then very briefly, we'll talk about the scope of application for CRA. And oh, too bad the most important thing, the bottom circles I cut, but that's meant to be open source stewards. Unfortunate, but that had happened. So it does, so how it applies is like twofold. One is like what they call in a covered product categories. So they specified and like it's a basically connected hardware device and examples like IoT, networked equipment, and then softwares that's embedded in connected devices. That's the wording that they use in the legislation. And then the also like non-tangible digital products, basically software, were supplied as part of a product with digital element. And then it does have some exemptions. So one is basically like if it's covered by other regulations that's often more strict, such as a medical device for human use and accessories for such device. That's a regulation EU 2017-746. And then another is the IVDR, in vitro diagnostic medical devices for human use and accessories for such device. They often have even more stricter requirement than the CRA, so that's mentioned. Another is if there is already a comparable certification scheme. And then another is the product that's developed exclusively for national security, defense, or military purpose, or processing classified information. And then the other ones, I thought it might be a bit more interesting, like unfinished product prototypes, but then provided, like, you have to make it very clear that this is a prototype, and then also mention that this does not comply with CRA, and they're placed on the market solely for testing, and says that's covered by other kind of legislations. And then I will quickly, how much time? Yeah, okay. And then another bit, like how it's applied is they use a term called economic operators. So as in like a product is placed in the market, as in it's has a commercial bit to it. Like, so that's what they meant by economic operators. And then it does have three different categories of that economic operator. One is like manufacturer, the ones that manufactures, and then another is the importer, and then another bit is distributor. And I'm sure like it's like preaching to the converted, like to talk to people in this room, like where does the open source stewards or community fit in? That's the term that they had introduced here as well. And I will just like, we wouldn't have time to go through the obligations that they have set up for different categories of economic operators, but we'll quickly just talk about the obligations of manufacturers. So there's a general obligation and a reporting obligation to that. So the general one, one through two, it's if you have a normal healthy software like development life cycle, it's cybersecurity is taken into account in planning, designing, developing, like sort of thing. And then there is a quite like heavy reporting obligation, which if we have time, like we will like get to that. But then other like interesting things are the like how long that this should be insured, basically the safety of the product should be insured, and how long the security updates should be made available once the product have been placed into the market. And then another bit, like number five, which I thought interesting, a very clear and understandable instruction for the users. And then reporting bit, also interesting, it does have a quite like stringent timeline on like as soon as the manufacturer identifies a issue, that like within 24 hours to inform the like CISRT or ANISA about the vulnerabilities. And then as they mitigate, like work on it, like patch it, a final report to be made available within like 24 hours. And then we'll like talk about the specifics like with the like FOSS community. Oh, sorry. There we go, yeah. So when the proposal of the legislation was introduced in 2022 and the final version introduced like at the November of 2024, there had been a lot of advocacy or like work from the open source communities. Like, because if you were to actually read through and compare the two legislations, two drafts, like it's quite different. And the specifics on the open source, like the best place to look for that would be Article 24. Like that's a dedicated space for that. And then it is like asking to establish and document a verifiable cybersecurity policy and ensure effective vulnerability handling. It does not specify how or what it should look like, but then it does say that. And then cooperate with market surveillance authorities. I don't know like if people had heard about this term. It's a term that had been also like introduced there. So market market surveillance authorities are meant to be national ones, and that's chosen by each member state in the European Union. And they are to ensure the implementation of the CRA. So each member state can choose one or more existing new authorities and such. Okay, 2 minutes. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm so sorry. Yeah. And with that, I just want to skip this slide, the concerns that had been raised, but just want to end with the point that, like, for open source communities, what CRA, at least like from the law, what it actually values is the evidence of process, not necessarily perfection. And yeah, with that, I'll hand to Cynthia.
Awesome, thank you. Oh, nice. All right, so I'm gonna go through. So I wanna highlight a little bit more on, thank you for going over about CRA, what it means, and as you know, we have till December 2027 when it's in full effect. But I wanna highlight some of the concerns if anybody here might be a community manager or a maintainer of a project. Here are some concerns that community managers had highlighted with the CRA. Of course, I want to highlight the CRA really values the evidence of the process, and it doesn't have to be completely perfect. There is time right now, but we definitely want to get started. And also, there's some concerns for the community managers that might feel that downstream companies, manufacturers, might push questions upstream to the project. So you want to be able to reduce uncertainty ahead of time as soon as possible. Another thing to consider is being able to really support the maintainers and support the community under CRA. So these are the concerns that the community has with the fear of burdens on the open source software stewards. And of course, the FOSS community really has done a lot of advocacy, so it's really great. And there has been updates to that, as was mentioned earlier. And to go through with the timing that we have here, I want to highlight, it's going to slowly load, there we go, some things to really be ready across the project as you're scaling CRA readiness. Of course, this is not legal advice, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not your lawyer, so I just want to highlight here are some things you may want to consider when you're preparing your project to under the CRA. So of course, first figure out if your project does fall under the CRA. I believe there's a couple of really great tools out there for assessments to see if your project would fall under that. Of course, think about also organizing your repo, your projects to have all CRA related documents, whether it's in your contributing file in your repo somewhere, where new contributors can figure that out, somewhere where there's very clear documentation to reduce any confusion in communication. For any CRA-related documentation, well, this is what happens, this is the type of verbiage that you always use. So with that, also consider perhaps using issue templates whenever there is a security vulnerability, any vulnerability reporting, having templates that are the same across your project makes it a little bit easier for new contributors to join. And I have 0 minutes. The last thing I want to highlight is clarify the role between your technical writers and the community managers. So it's very clear who will do what when there's a new version that comes through during onboarding. Thank you so much. We ran out of time. And I'll hand this over to the next one.
Thank you very much, ladies. That's fantastic. The best presentations are given when the technical things go wrong. I mean, that's great. You overcame this. Please give it another round of applause. That's just fantastic.